Hello everyone and welcome to this week's episode of The Green Room. In The Green Room, I get to unpack all those great stories and anecdotes and, you know, the business lessons I learn in talking to business owners just like you every single day. So sit back, relax, buckle up and enjoy this week's episode of The Green Room podcast. Hello everyone and welcome to The Green Room podcast. Hey, I want to talk to you about a question I get asked all the time. Having walked, you know, alongside so many business owners for such a long period of time, 25 years, feels like a lifetime, for such a long period of time, one of the questions I get asked all the time is what makes great business owners and great entrepreneurs great? What do they do differently to what I'm doing? What are they doing differently to, you know, what so many of us seem to be jogging on the spot and we feel like we're stuck in the day-to-day and everything's washing back over our desk. And, you know, I'm trying to work with so many businesses around how we empower our people to really run the show operationally and give us more freedom. You know, move from a founder-led and founder-fed business to a business there where everyone's empowered to really do their job well, we get great results, and the business owners and leaders get the freedom that they need to have a great lifestyle. You know, the business makes great profit, and the products seem to go out, happy customers, minimal emotion. What does that look like, and what makes great entrepreneurs great? Well, I do know a few things that really don't come into play. You know, when we go to school, we're pretty much graded into drafted almost like sheep into our intelligence levels based on whatever is the academic diagnostic of the day. And then as we go through school, you know, if you go through the same school with the same kids, you tend to get lumped at the same level the whole way through. And it's not till, you know, many of us have broken out into the world post-school and found our entrepreneurial flair, we've found our spot in the world, and we really thrive, and we're able to create and grow and do all these awesome things. And the reality is, some of us make it better than others. So what are those things that really help us? Well, I know it's not raw intelligence. So it doesn't matter when cash flows tighten. It doesn't matter when a key staff member resigns or markets shift. What matters is, you know, those traits that make great entrepreneurs. What are they? Well, they're very, very practical. People are able to learn. They're curious about how they get better. So most of my entrepreneurs would be quite curious about how they could create continuous improvement in their businesses. They're very coachable and they love to learn. They find things that work, and they are able to repeat them in their business. You know, I've sat at the kitchen table with founders who are exhausted and quietly questioning themselves. And I've worked with operators who don't have the biggest balance sheet, the cleanest systems, or the loudest voices, who still went on to build extraordinary businesses. So you don't have to be that, you know, that classic extrovert. You think of Bill Gates, he's an absolute introvert, one of the biggest businesses in the world. But what separated those who have broken through and those who have burned out wasn't luck or education. It was a pattern of behavior that they could keep returning to, especially when the business is under pressure. The culture turns up when the business is under pressure. When things aren't going well is when the real culture of the business turns up and when real leadership turns up. So there was a book by a guy called Walker Diebel and called Buy Then Build. And I really enjoyed that book, by the way, good book. And he said, above all, strategic thinking, persistence, assertiveness, being achievement orientated, optimistic and thick skinned are attributes most shared by successful entrepreneurs. And when you tick through that list, strategic thinking, yep, they've got a bigger game to play. They're persistent, and I can absolutely attest to that one. They stick it, they pound the rock and pound the rock until eventually it cracks. They're assertive, so they know what they want. They're achievement orientated, so the challenge of running a business really lights them up. They're optimistic, and quite often far too optimistic than they should be. And yeah, the thick skin. Now, that one there is a bit challenging. I see plenty of entrepreneurs that have been successful that haven't had that attribute, but they're able to work a way around that. So none of that is intelligence. It's not motivational fluff. It's based on real data and case studies around entrepreneurs that have succeeded. And it mirrors exactly what I've seen in the Australian SME market for ages. And a great example in the Australian market is Melanie Perkins. Melanie Perkins, you may or may not know the name. Quite often when I talk to people about Melanie Perkins, they don't know who she is. So who is she? Well, she came up with an idea and got rejected time after time from investors, banged on doors for years. And her strategic advantage, her superpower, wasn't raw talent, even though she was quite talented in the University of Western Australia as a student. It was strategic clarity. She knew exactly what she was trying to do. She knew that in working with software and graphic design and these sort of things, there was a lot of friction and a lot of challenges around doing that, and it didn't really work for small businesses. So I think most of you will know what she went on to create and do, and that was Canva. So she's a really great Australian success story of someone who was absolutely pounding the rock, got rejection after rejection, but then went on to make, you know, the most extraordinary product that the world really needed. But those poor investors that walked away from her, clearly they're the ones who missed out. Another great example of entrepreneurial spirit was a bloke called James Dyson. You will know his vacuum cleaners. So before he built the Dyson vacuum cleaners, and of course there's a whole range of Dyson products now, it's well documented that he actually had 5,000 failed prototypes. 5,000 vacuum cleaners that didn't work before he relentlessly went on to create the Dyson vacuum cleaner. So, you know, he didn't just push through failure, he learned his way through it. So every iteration of that vacuum cleaner, he learned something. And that, you know, that's the classic R&D process, isn't it? Whereby you create a hypothesis, you think something will work. And entrepreneurs do this. We think something will work, we have an idea. Might have come to you on your walk, we might have come to you in the shower, who knows, but you've got this idea. So you create a hypothesis that if I do this, that will happen. And, you know, this is the classic R&D model. Then we go to work around designing an experiment, around seeing whether it will or it won't work. We create conditions where we will learn from that experiment, and then we take those learnings, iterate it into the next version, and we go again until we finally have something. And that was James Dyson's model around 5,000 failed vacuum cleaners. And interestingly, in Debra Walker's book, Buy Then Build, his central argument is this: the great entrepreneurs are not extraordinary people, they are disciplined people. Now, isn't it interesting that you don't have to be the most brilliant person in the room, but if you're disciplined and you do those one percenters day in, day out, they make those choices around the effort that you put in, the attitude that you bring, the standards that you set, then, you know, you don't have to have superpowers. You can actually, anyone effectively can do those things. So theoretically, you know, anyone can be a successful entrepreneur. So those traits again, that they do, they make choices in the day-to-day, they're very disciplined, and they have the effort and the attitude, and they set the standards that have then led to success. So in plain language, what were his takeaways from his book that I want to share with you? Number one, think strategically to reduce risk, not just react faster. So far too many of us are caught in the weeds of the day-to-day. We're very technically orientated, and let's face it, that's where most of us have come from. We're very task orientated, but in lifting our eyes to a bigger picture and putting a risk lens over that, we can start to navigate our way through some more complex scenarios and solve more complex problems in our business model, which then can go on to create, you know, really great businesses. The next thing they do, they persist through uncomfortable middle, where most people quit. And you will intuitively know this, that uncomfortable middle when it's not as exciting as it was when you first had the idea. You know, you feel like you're not getting anywhere. You're just pounding the rock and nothing, and it's nothing is cracking. It gets uncomfortable thinking, I'm never going to get there. The self-talk kicks in. Well, Dibble says that persisting through that uncomfortable middle is one of the key traits in his findings around what makes great entrepreneurs. Act assertively when the information is incomplete. So many people I see are waiting for it to be perfect, waiting to have all the information, waiting to have tons and tons of data, and so they can triangulate that data into the absolute perfect scenario. But entrepreneurs, they think quicker than that, they move quicker than that. Great business owners get the data they need to make a decision, and they balance that against the perfection of the decision and the risk involved against the speed of moving quickly and continuing to make progress, continuing to sustain momentum. And this is one of his findings. Dibble's findings was that great entrepreneurs act assertively when information is complete. The next of his finding was that they stay really achievement focused by measuring what matters. So one of the greatest things, you know, the Hayes report about what employees value the most, and it's not, interestingly, it was not money. It was a sense of achievement. And I think entrepreneurs are driven by this. They need that sense of achievement and they stay really focused on measuring those things that matters so they can actually make achievement visible. They make progress visible. What does that look like? How do I know that I'm on the right track? How can I continue to pound the rock so that things continue to work? Next, Dibble talks about they hold on to grounded optimism. So they keep investing in the future. They believe they're on the right track. They believe they've got a great idea. They believe in what they're doing. They wake up every day with a very clear understanding of what they want to achieve that day. They wake up every day very, very focused and very positive about what's possible. I love asking the question. In fact, I ask this of myself every single day. I get up today and I think, what am I most looking forward to today? And that gives me something to work towards, something to really drive towards. And at the end of the day, I love asking the question, I love asking people who work with me, the question is, what was the best thing that happened to you today? What does that look like? And in asking those questions, we're really living in that grounded optimism about those things that light us up, those things that make us thrive, and those things that keep us moving in a forward direction and keep us sticking at those processes that are going to get us to where we want to get to. And then finally, the thick skin, so setbacks don't knock us off course. If we have absolute belief that we're on the right track, and you know, there's no doubt, there's no shortage of doubters and no shortage of naysayers and no shortage of people who won't like your idea and no shortage of people who think you won't get there. I remember 25 years ago when I started my practice, one of the people I approached who I knew well as an associate saying, look, I've started this practice. I'm giving business advice to SME business owners because I've just done my MBA. And when I was in business for myself, I felt really lonely. I didn't know where to turn for advice. I didn't feel like there was anyone in my corner. I didn't feel like there was anyone I could work through and discuss issues with and really unpack problems. And he turned to me and he said, well, Chris, who's going to pay for your advice? 25 years later, that has driven me the whole way. And clearly, you know, he was wrong. There was enough people out there to make this whole thing work and get longevity. But when you will have, my point is, you'll have no shortage of doubters in your world. You'll have no, when you're an entrepreneur, you'll have no shortage of people who want to knock you off your pedestal. But if you can ride those setbacks and stay the course, the evidence says and the data says that you will have a much stronger likelihood of cracking that rock and being successful and running a really great business that serves you, a business by design, which you can thrive in. So my greatest wish for you and your business is that you don't make a mistake that entrepreneurship is a job you endure. It's not a job, it's a calling, it's a vocation. It's an honor. You get to turn up every day. You get to, you have the privilege of being able to set your own rules. Don't turn up as if it's a job. Turn up as if you're creating something you want to thrive in. Turn up with effort and endeavor and achievement and momentum to really dream big, think bigger, and drive into those areas of your business that will ultimately lead to success. So the great news from Dibble's work is that it's not intelligence. It's not how many PhDs you have. It's not how much money you started with in the first place. It's not what you've been given. What it is those things quite often that don't cost anything that we can all actually, if we learn to leverage, we can all actually become better leaders and run really good businesses. Thinking more strategically, persisting through those uncomfortable middle times when you feel like you're not making progress and self-talk and doubt starts to set in. Being assertive and making decisions, being agile, making decisions when you mightn't have all the data, obviously putting a risk framework over that, but being agile and learning and really getting momentum through your business is what great business leaders do. Staying achievement focused, I don't think many in my world would have much problem with that. Most of my entrepreneurs and my leaders are very achievement focused and really love the challenge that a business brings. Stay optimistic, because that's really important to be able to keep the momentum and eventually break through. And of course, the last piece there we talked about was being thick-skinned. So these traits that we talk about aren't rare. They're built decision by decision, quarter by quarter by quarter. So here's my question to you. It's whether you're willing to become who your business now needs you to be. Are you prepared to stay the course, to think strategically, to persist when you're uncomfortable, to be assertive in your decision making, to be optimistic and really be achievement focused and really drive towards the business that you want? Because that choice, quietly and consistently made, is what truly makes great entrepreneurs great. If you like this podcast, please like and subscribe. Feel free to share it with anyone else that you think this would be of assistance to. And I'm looking forward to seeing you next week on the Green Room.
If you like this episode of the Green Room podcast, I invite you to jump on my website, chrisgreen.au, and check out other episodes. Also, I have a fortnightly newsletter and a video. So jump on board and check it out.